perhaps the simplest of the astrological collapses. Precisely because Easter Island is the most remote habitable scrap of land in the world. Easter is that island of about 50 square miles, over 2,000 miles west of the coast of Chile, and about 1,300 miles east of the nearest inhabited Polynesian island. So Easter Island, once Polynesians discovered it by chance and settled it in 1800, there was, as far as we know, no other contact with any other society. Easter Islanders have no friends, no enemies to complicate the picture. Easter is famous for the gigantic stone statues, the statues of which I'm sure all of you have seen pictures, statues of up to 270 tons, up to 33 feet high, that the islands themselves carved and transported up to 13 miles, and then erected from a horizontal position into a vertical position. But all this was done without machines, without draft animals, without horses, without metal tools. Somehow the islands themselves transported and erected these statues, these great statues, hundreds of them. And they carried on, but when Europeans came to Easter Island in 1723, the islanders, in a great tragedy, were in the process of destroying the statues that their own ancestors had erected at such a great effort. When Europeans came to Easter Island, it was a treeless island, the last place in the world that you would expect a great civilization to arise on this barren island. And so it's been a mystery how they ever erected statues without any wood or material to make ropes, and why a complex society would evolve in this barren winter. The answer has come out in the last few decades from the work of archaeologists and paleontologists. It turns out that Easter Island, when humans arrived, it was forested. It was covered with a subtropical forest that included, among other things, the world's biggest palm tree. And the Easter Islanders, like other farming peoples, began to cut down the trees to clear land for gardens. And they also used the wood from the trees to make canoes, to go out to sea, to harpoon tuna and dolphins for protein. And they also used wood to build houses and for fuel. And they carried on chopping down the trees until by about the year 1670, there were no more trees left. They had exterminated all 23 of the tree species on the island. And with no trees left, there were no more weavers and rollers and rope to transport statues. They couldn't erect and transport statues. With no more trees, they couldn't build canoes to go out to sea to catch big fish. And therefore, as their source of protein, they turned to become a large animal on the island, humans. Easter Island society then collapsed in an epidemic of cannibalism and inter-clan fighting, as too many people fought over too few resources. Eventually, the population of Easter declined by about 80-90%, and by the year 1843, the last of these hundreds of statues that the island's ancestors had erected was pulled down. When I visited Easter Island a year and a half ago with Joanna Tilburg, and we went around the island looking at one ruined platform after another with broken statues, who just filled with an overwhelming sense of tragedy. So here is as close as one can get to a pure ecological disaster. The cause of the collapse of Easter Island society was deforestation, plus the extermination of all of Easter Island's land birds, plus the extermination of 26 out of its 27 species of breeding seabirds, doing the Easter Islanders out of food sources and wood supplies. It was as close as we get to a pure ecological collapse because there were no friends or neighbors to complicate the picture. Among other Polynesian islands, I mentioned Pitcairn Island and Henderson Island, which also collapsed to the point where everybody was dead. Easter Island, at least a couple of thousand people survived. But on Pitcairn and Henderson, settled around 81,000, everybody ended up dead. And in that case, it was not because of things that Pitcairn and Henderson Islanders did themselves, but instead they depended for essential raw materials on imports from another Polynesian island several hundred miles away called Mangareva. And in an equivalent of the 1973 Gulf oil crisis, the Mangarevans got into difficulty by deforestation, as on Easter Island. So with deforestation, the Mangarevans could no longer send out canoes with these essential raw materials. And without the raw materials, human settlement on Pitcairn and Henderson became non-viable. The Henderson Islanders staggered on. There were only 50 of them. They staggered on as a society for about 150 years. And finally, after 150 years of isolation and no further input from Magaluva, the Henderson Islanders disappeared. So there's a cataclysmic equivalent of a Gulf oil process. The Greenland Norse, my chapters on the Greenland Norse, are instructive because it's a past society that collapsed but left a written record. We don't have a written record for the collapse of the Anasazi or Easter or Pitkin and Henderson, and a fragmentary written record for the Maya collapse. But the Greenland Norse, those were Norwegians, who around AD 1000 went out and settled Greenland, and they were liberal, and they wrote Latin, and they wrote in runes, and they established a European Christian society on Greenland based on dairy, milk from cows and sheep and goats. And for 450 years, Norse Greenland was the most remote outpost of medieval Europe. And then around 1430, all the Norwegians on Greenland ended up dead, illustrating that these tragedies can befall not just those exotic people out there, Polynesians and Native Americans, etc., but they can also befall Europeans. And therefore, I thought Greenland was a salutary story for Europeans who believed it could not happen to us. In the case of the Greenland Norse, it's not only the most richly documented case because of writing, but it's also the most complicated case. All five factors on my checklist play a role. The Greenland Norse hammered the environment by deforestation and soil erosion. There was climate change, it got colder. They had friends who failed them, mainly Norway, that got poor and stopped sending out chips. They had enemies, the Inuit, the Eskimos, whom they could have held off, except that the environmental damage that Norse inflicted destroyed the forest from which they would have gotten the charcoal to smelt iron, but now without the forest, they couldn't smelt iron. Elsewhere in the world, Europeans conquered non-European peoples, taking advantage of European superiority with guns, germs, and steel. But in Greenland, there weren't any iron tools or steel tools because of that deforestation. And so the Greenland Norse were left to fight it out with the Inuit on a basis of equality with bows and arrows and wooden spears. Ended up around 1430 with the Norse all dead. For the last reason, also because of their political, economic, social, and cultural decisions. They remained European Christians, and they refused to learn from the pagan Inuit. They refused even to learn the Inuit techniques for fishing and for seal hunting, and as a result, the Norse starved to death amidst plenty, and the Inuit survived. So today, again, it's a controlled experiment. Two societies on one island, and one society made the wrong choices and ended up and the other society, the Inuit, made choices that succeeded and they're still being together.